Final hour DDC here on this Monday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Elijah Campbell manning things at the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Predators ready to embark on a 5-game homestand that starts tomorrow night when they host the Sharks. They lost to Florida essentially 2-1 on Saturday. It was a 2-1 hockey game. They lost 4-1, two empty netters late, and then they lost in OT in Pittsburgh yesterday 3-2. Let me just go on and say this, and I know, again, doesn't matter, nobody cares, because the only way they would see them again is in the Stanley Cup final, and that would be awesome for the Predators to get revenge. But the season series is over, and we just watched Pittsburgh twice in the last 3.5 weeks. And I will just say this, and you guys will be able to make fun of me because we'll make our predictions like we do every year. We'll see who's the best. We'll go round by round. And I'm just here to tell you, I'm not a believer in the Penguins. They don't impress me at all. And unless the Eastern Conference has got incredibly like jelly donut soft in the playoffs, I just don't see that team going anywhere. I quite honestly was disappointed the Predators didn't win that game. I thought they were the better team for a lot of the game. Pittsburgh doesn't impress me, and I don't think they're going to go very far at all in the playoffs. It's just my takeaway. I think they don't like they're not a physical team. They don't. I know there was some, you know, there was a couple incidents yesterday that we've talked about already. There was the other one with Matheson. But overall, I'm not impressed with them. I think they're more of a finesse team, and I don't think finesse teams win Stanley Cups. And I know they've had their fair share of success, but I don't think it's the 2022 team. Just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think they'll be underdogs in their first series and probably subsequently after that. I never count those guys out. They're ultra competitors. I think they're a little thin in scoring depth, and they've got a really good goalie in Tristan Jarry, who had a nightmare playoff series last year, so there's a lot of question marks on how he'll respond. It's a little bit like the Ryan Tannehill situation, right? It's, you know, he's a little younger, but it's like when you have a bad experience in a playoff series or a playoff game, that's the question, no matter how well you play in the regular season, is what will happen. It's like a yeah, but. You know, Tristan Jarry's had a really good year, but it's like, yeah, but let's see what happens in the playoffs. That's where it's at in Pittsburgh. So they're a good team, but they will not be one of the favorites in the East.
Like I said, I
right won't. Now you notice Tampa Bay is in the wild card position. Now, how crazy is that?
Yeah,
That's how many teams are having great years in the East.
Actually, I think they moved up with.
Did they? Yeah, they're back in the 96 spot. By a point over Boston.
Yeah.
Whew.
Because wow. Boston lost yesterday to the Capitals.
Capitals have actually surged a little bit here. Got a couple big wins.
Yeah, I just think overall they're not very good. And then Florida, along with Colorado, are two teams that have been pretty good here of not just this regular season for a couple of years now and haven't been able to make any noise in the playoffs. And I think they're going to finish the two best teams in hockey in the regular season, and they deserve that tag because they have been outstanding, both of them. But again, their narrative, especially Colorado, because Colorado's been, their window's been a little bit more open. I mean, think about it. The Predators' President's Trophy season, that first round matchup against Colorado, we were talking and came away even after the 6-game series victory of, watch out for this Colorado team. Boy, they're going to be good for a while. They got a lot of young talent, and ever since then, that series, they haven't even made it to the conference final. All these expectations, they haven't even made it to the conference final. So to me, they got to prove it. They haven't been able to do it, just like Toronto hasn't been able to do it, just like Edmonton hasn't been able to do it, and Florida's in the same boat. Teams that have been really good here the last 2 or 3 years but have made virtually no noise whatsoever in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. That's why it's so compelling. The first round of the playoffs in the NHL is unbelievable because you know there are going to be some really good teams that had excellent seasons that will be out in the first round. Can you imagine the pressure and the drama with Toronto? Toronto will be playing either Tampa Bay or Boston in the first round. They're either playing the two-time defending champion Stanley Cup winners in the first round, or they're playing Boston, who has eliminated them a couple of times in the playoffs recently. Those are the possibilities. Or I guess maybe they could – no, I mean, that's who they're going to play. It's one or the other.
Yep.
I mean, so can they win that? Yeah, they could win that. Well, that would just mean that the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions are out in the first round.
Yep.
And it's not like they've had a bad year. So that's the nature of these playoffs. Minnesota and Toronto – I'm sorry, Minnesota and St. Louis, it looks like – they've got a beat on the 2-3 in the Central. They've both had outstanding years. They're going to have over 100 points when it's all said and done. One of them's going down in the first round. So that's what we're looking at here. And so Nashville's got to make sure you get in first because that's still not a given at this point. They come up with 1 point in two games. Fortunately for them, New Jersey got a huge win over Dallas. Otherwise, Dallas would be ahead of the Predators in the standings right now with the same amount of games played. But Nashville right now hangs in. Now Nashville's got 5 games in a row at home. This is really a very, very important stretch to take care of your home ice and get some points here. Now, the other thing that's developed, Darren, you got Vegas in the picture. We've been watching Vegas for a long time. But now Los Angeles has had a skid. So Los Angeles now has only 86 points. So remember, if Vegas makes a push, they could pass Los Angeles and move into third in the Pacific. So that's another angle of where Nashville could get into the playoffs, is just stay above the fourth place team in the Pacific, essentially, if that makes sense. But I think most people follow this. But LA has hit the skids a little bit here. They had a 3-0 lead yesterday in Minnesota, and had an opportunity to get a huge road win,
and
then they had the wheels fall off.
Yep.
So they're hurting a little bit. They've got some injuries. They're on a road trip right now, so. I think the bottom line is if Nashville in the last 10 games can, you know, get 5-6 wins, I think it's a no-doubter they're going to be in there. But you've got to make sure you keep churning. Give yourself a chance to win every night. And I do think that they didn't play poorly over the weekend at all. They had two tough opponents. They had a back-to-back situation. And I think they played pretty well. Can they play better? Yeah, but I was encouraged, especially with their defensive part of the game. I didn't think they were giving up the too many chances, too many quality chances that they were earlier in the week. And when the week was over, their record was what, 2-1-1? Yep. If you go 2-1-1 each week, or 2-1, you know, you'll get where you want to go.
We tend to go, yeah. You will, because what's the cutoff? What do you think? What's the number? They're at 87 points right now.
I think 97, 98 will get you in there.
Yeah. I think 98 to be safe.
No, I mean, why not go for 100? I think 100 would be really what you want, or 99.
Well, I'm asking you, though, what's the lowest number you feel comfortable that you can still get in? I would say 98.
I'm going to say 97.
Ooh, I don't know. You think?
I think one way or the other, 97 would be tough to beat, but that's not a given. I mean, it's a dangerous game to play.
Well, going back to your LA thing, Vegas is starting to get bodies back. Now it may be too late, but Max Pacioretty's back in there. They could finish in that third spot in the Pacific.
Right, and then you ask yourself, well, what does Los Angeles do down the stretch?
I'm not counting Vegas out.
Oh, I'm not either. What's that? What else is interesting is you've got Vancouver that, for better or worse, you know, they didn't trade a lot of guys at the trading deadline. They played really well after they had the horrid start, and they're still trying to win. And that's probably a good thing for Nashville. Like, for example, Vancouver hosts Vegas. They just beat Vegas. And now they play them again. And Vancouver's in that mode of they're trying to pull the miracle. And they're thinking, this is our shot. We got to win this game. If we do, we keep our heartbeat going, even though it's still a long shot. But, yeah, that's a tough thing. But I agree with you. I wouldn't be sitting there saying, you know, if we get to 96, 97, we'll be all right. I think you want to shoot higher than that and say 98, 99, 100.
98's my number. I think you get to 98, I think you're in. That's not crazy. I mean, that's 11 points with possible, 20 on the line, right?
Mm-hmm. It starts tomorrow with San Jose. San Jose's been struggling. But it's always dangerous. No matter how, whatever you see, there's a danger there. And you have to understand that danger to be effective. So that's all you can control right now. Put a good product out there tomorrow night against San Jose and take a step forward.
If I told you this before the season ever began, what would your answer be? I'll tell you what I'm setting you up to get your answer for on the other side for the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tickets for the Music City Grand Prix, that'll be August 5th through the 7th, go on sale this Wednesday. We had Chris Parker on the show on Friday. They go on sale Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. 102.5 The Game has your chance to win 3-day passes to the Music City Grand Prix. Just text in the word RACE right now, RACE, R-A-C-E. To the text line, 615-737-1025, to qualify to win. More details on the Music City Grand Prix can be found at musiccitygp.com. So text in that word RACE to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So I was sitting in Patron Platinum Club on Saturday afternoon with Robbie Stanley, who was going to be my first guest to start pregame. And we were in there just chatting in Patron. And I said to Robbie, if I would have told you this before the season began, which I'm about to say to you, I want to hear what your answer would be, what you just think you would have said at the time. Try to channel yourself back to before they played game one as they go into game 73 tomorrow night. And I would have told you, Willie, here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to guarantee you is going to happen this season. Philip Forsberg is going to score 40 goals. Going to have a career year. I know he hasn't gotten there yet, but just come on. I think we all feel like he's going to still find a way to get to 40. If I were going to tell you Matt Duchene was going to have a career season, he too was going to score 40 goals. Ryan Johansson was going to have more goals than he's ever had since he's been with the Predators. Tanner Janot would possibly win the rookie record. He would pass Forsberg. He would have 27 goals this year, Tanner Janot, and be right in the rookie of the year, the Calder discussion, all the way to the end. And this team was going to be a rough and tumble and physical team. And this team was going to be a top 10 power play unit the entire season. Roman Josi would have another Norris Trophy winning year, the best year any Predator has ever had, and possibly be even in the Hart discussion when it's all said and done. And Juuse Saros would just be Juuse Saros for the entire season. And then I would say, Willie, what do you think we'll be talking about towards the end of the regular season, with like 2 weeks to go, like the middle of April? What do you think we'll be? What would we be saying about this team? What would your answer be?
That they're going to make the playoffs.
Just that? Just that they're going to make the playoffs?
Yeah.
Because I said, I think honestly, if you'd have told me all that before the season, I was like, wow, they may win the division. They may be the best team in the West. That may have been my answer before they ever played a game. Now,
that's
we didn't
after,
know.
Even after trading Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis and getting nothing immediate in return? I mean, that's another thing that I could have told you and said, they're going to trade Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis and get nothing immediate from either of those two.
Well, I think everybody felt good about Carrier. So everybody, I think everybody felt like there was that was a contributing factor.
But he had played 19 games.
You right, but you also maybe you're a factor in Dante Fabro has a bounce back, which you've said Dante Fabro's fine.
Right, and he's done well. But
okay,
but there were a lot of questions about that, weren't there?
Sure.
Whether that could happen, he didn't even play in the playoffs last year.
I understand.
He just passed over.
But I said you're kind of banking that there would be a bounce back by him, which I don't think is a stretch. I would say that all that would be overshadowed by, wait a minute, Philip Forsberg's going to have a career year. He's going to have 40 goals.
Yeah, but you're talking about winning a division. To win the division with the Colorado team, the way we thought they were going to look coming into the season?
Think about the things that have actually played out. Does anybody think that would have been possible? First of all, if you'd have said that to somebody, this is what's going to play out this year, they'd have been like, hilarious.
I was more optimistic than most about them making the playoffs. But if you look at the preseason predictions of this team, most analysts had them sixth or seventh in the division. They had the Blackhawks consistently ahead of them. They had the Jets consistently ahead of them in that mix. It was five, six, or seven at best. There was only a handful at best that even had them with a chance to make the playoffs. So I think you have to factor that in. And at the same time, Darren, when you say all that, I would never have thought that all of that was going to fall into line with the individual seasons those guys have had. What I thought, you know, Josi could have a great season. Oh, yeah, I would have signed up for that. I am not surprised at all what UC Soros has done. But... you know, and I think even realistically, did we all think Philip Forsberg had a career year in him? We've been saying it for years. When's he going to have that career year? Well, he's having it. But the Duchene and Johansson is the one that really tips the scales. And I don't think anybody would have thought that they would bounce back to this degree. And it's full credit to those guys how they have done that. They have been awesome. And they have changed the game. And all that being said, it's a competitive league. It's not easy to make the playoffs. That's why everybody sometimes scoffs at teams that consistently get into the mix. It is not as easy as it appears to do that. In a year where they have said from the start, we're in a transition. We're holding back. We're not spending to the cap right now.
Competitive transition. Competitive transition.
Yeah. And so they got a lot of young guys in there. And so they've taken some really good steps while still rebuilding and fortifying the farm system, which I think is looking pretty good too. The way Cody Glass is playing, he's playing lights out right now in Milwaukee. I mean, playing great to the point where Carl Taylor just went out and said, this guy's playing like he wants to get out of here, that he doesn't belong in this league anymore, that he wants to move up. Like he is, look at his numbers right now.
He's got like 60-something points.
He's been awesome. You know, there's some other kids coming up through the ranks that are really promising here. So I think that was the goal of the season. And so you're trying to finish off what would be a really good year, and that's make the playoffs. And you got John Hines, I think, has been saying from the start that whatever the expectations were, we want to write our own story. We think we're good enough. We think we're better than we were last year. And I think they are. Well, there's no question they're better than they were last year.
Nobody's going to push back on that right now.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody was wrong. Anybody that – all the people that said, you know, they're not a playoff team, they're wrong. I mean, I guess it could still play out that way, but I guess the point is they have far exceeded what most of the experts, air quotes, you know, thought they were going to be, or just what people were predicting. I mean, you're asked to make predictions. Heck, we make predictions, and you know, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're wrong, and a lot of people were wrong. I think the point is, if you would have told me all of that, you know, let's not get caught up in and hung up in, you know, exactly, okay, so you don't agree that I, you know, if I was said, jeez, probably won the division.
Or, well, I think I would have
no
said,
way
I, they're going to make the playoffs.
They weren't right. They weren't going to make the playoff. Like, or they would be
fighting
to the
still
end.
Still fighting.
No way.
With work
like,
to do with 10 games to go to make sure you're in, and there's a chance you don't get in. Yeah, I probably would have said, boy, you're getting me all that. I'm thinking
in.
You're going to be in.
Firmly in. This time, middle of April, firmly in with all of that playing out. Yet, it's not the case. Now, we didn't know the league scoring. You're going to have to do that because the league scoring is way up, right? League scoring, as we've been talking about all year, has been crazy. Like, seeing 6 and 7 goals from a team on a nightly basis in one game is not uncommon. It's basically the norm now.
It's the most in 25 years.
Yeah. So, we didn't know that either. So, that does factor in. But if you would have told me all of that, and oh, by the way, they're going to be physical, and they're not going to take any crap, and they're going to lead the team in fighting, or lead the league in fighting majors and hits and all these things, the physicality, and be a top 10 power play unit the entire season, again, and all the other players that I've already named would have those type of years, I would have been like, what would we be talking about mid-April? This team is firmly in the playoffs. That's what I would have said, and yet they're not. And that's, to me, it's a little mind-blowing. Like, right? Like, who? No one would have ever thought that. Nobody would have said, if you tell them all of that, they'd be like, I guess maybe their chances would be a little bit better of getting in the playoffs than I think right now. Like, nobody would say that. They'd be like, what? All of that happening? This team it's a given they're in. And yet all that has happened, and they're still fighting for their playoff lives.
But still, let's take a look at it from a different angle. Other than Los Angeles, who has really had the surprisingly good year in the West? I'm just pointing out that there were a lot of teams that felt like they had playoff teams. We saw Minnesota, who was in the playoffs last year, go for it, right? They did the buyouts knowing that the penalties are coming to try to make the most of this year. So they dove in. We know St. Louis was everybody picked them to be in the playoffs. Edmonton, we know they were all in to try to make the playoffs. Calgary, I think you could argue, is a little bit, I mean, certainly way, way better than people expected. They didn't make the playoffs last year. So Calgary and Los Angeles are probably two of the surprise guests. I don't think anybody's surprised that Dallas is exactly where they are. So Nashville, with all that going on, is probably still a surprise to be in the position they're in. And probably the biggest surprise the other way is Vegas. I don't think anybody thought Vegas would be fighting to get in under any circumstances when the season started.
Come back and talk about this critical week, a 5-game homestand that begins tomorrow night against the Sharks. We'll do that next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Thank you, Laura. Don't forget, with the Predators playing tomorrow night, your chance pick to click. Brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. You're going to call in tomorrow morning, 8:45. If you get picked, then you need to click. You need to figure out a player that's going to score a goal. And if that happens, you'll win tickets to a future home game. So keep that in mind tomorrow at 8:45 a.m. This week, San Jose tomorrow night, Edmonton Thursday night. So McDavid and Draisaitl. Blackhawks Saturday morning, 11:30, puck drop. Sunday, which is Easter. St. Louis, 5 o'clock, puck drop. And then Tuesday to finish off the homestand against Calgary. Which, by the way, I saw a stat, pretty cool stat. I don't know if it's a cool stat. Just kind of shows you how Calgary's been playing. They jump out to leads. It was their game Saturday. They scored first. It was the 47th time this season, which leads every team in the league, obviously, scoring first goal. So they're not afraid to score first. So keep that in mind for the game the following Tuesday.
And you got two matchups with them. That is going to be big. One of them is the makeup game. that got whacked back when the COVID thing hit. So two matchups with Calgary. Calgary has a 7-point lead and a game in hand on Edmonton for the Pacific. Now, what you don't know exactly, especially with Nashville as a potential matchup for the Flames in the first round, maybe not so much the first meeting, but the second, you wonder if they'll have it locked up by then. How do they? Who do they want to rest? What's their injury situation? These are all things that could play a part in the drama here. But first things first, it all starts with the Sharks tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because there's only, and once again, this is a dangerous game, but there's a lot more games against teams that are going to be in the playoffs than not in the playoffs. So you certainly want to try to take advantage of the few games left that you have against teams that aren't going to be in there. Even though those teams can be trouble in their own way.
Let's go all the way out to Montana. Mike is calling in on our phone line.
Fred's thoughts from Montana. This is good.
Hyundai.com, yeah. Yes. Huge contingency of Preds fans in Montana, like Mike.
We are all over the place up here. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Now, when you go to a sports bar in Montana, what part of Montana are you in?
The very eastern side of the state, almost North Dakota, basically.
Almost North Dakota. Okay, so not near where the Pioneer League cities would be. Helena, Billings, Great Falls.
No, but my dad is good friends. They live in Great Falls. He is good friends with the owner of the Great Falls team there. So,
yes, once upon a time, I toured that state many times. It's summer of 93 in the Pioneer League, but that's bringing back memories. All right. So when you go, to your local watering hole and you say, "Can we get the Preds on?" What kind of look do you get from the bartender?
Most people here, if they're hockey fans, they're either Wild or Calgary Flames fans.
Yeah.
I do get the look a little bit, but I have run into a few of us up here. So
good.
But I wanted to call in because I disagree with Darren so often that I wanted to call in when I agreed with him. It was over kind of the
when was the last time you think you agreed, Mike? So I want to know how groundbreaking this is. Is this like, 2011?
Okay. Well, no, I agreed with him when he gave you just made the list over potato cakes being taken out of the Arby's.
Okay. Okay. So that's something recent.
By the way, I can confirm that there are no potato cakes up here in Montana, North Dakota, in the Arby's that I've been to anyway. So
okay,
there you go.
I'm crossing Montana and North Dakota off the list. I don't need to travel to those Arby's, okay?
The search continues. but the Predators last year, I think the consensus among fans was our best players need to be our best players. And when we played Carolina, there was just such a clear talent difference and a clear message of we needed our top guys to step up and be our top guys. And I'm with Darren. Our top guys have been our top guys this year, and it's not just because the rest of the league has, everyone's scoring. Roman Josi's sitting at isn't he second in the NHL in assists? I mean, he's having a record year, even among defensemen that are having good years like Cale Makar. Forsberg, Duchesne, I mean, they're all playing at this high level. And if you would, I'm with Darren, if you would have told me last year, okay, next year, going into next year, we're going to have all these guys back and all of our top players are going to be hitting, they're going to be firing on all cylinders.
Career years.
Hey. Yeah. Career years. I would have said, hey, I would say we'd be competing for the division. And yet it's like we're kind of in the same boat that we were last year. So what is this team lacking? Like, what can I look for as a fan to say, if we do this, we're going to be better? Is it a talent issue? Is it we need to shore things up on the defensive end because we're giving up too many of those chances? What does this team have to do, really?
Mike, I hope you call in sooner, so that means we've agreed again. I hope it's not like 20, 29. I hope to hear from you before then.
I'll do that.
Okay. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks.
It's a good call.
It's a good question.
Yeah, that's why I brought this up, because I don't think anybody – so it's, to me, it's a little bit, mind-blowing. Like, how are we having this discussion? Like, all these things have happened – And yet we've been talking for the last couple of years that they haven't been happening, whether it's because of injuries or just lack of production, what have you, not being available, not in the lineup. Well, none of that has been the case this year, and yet we're still sitting here talking about a team that is fighting for their playoff lives.
But even if they don't make the playoffs, unless they collapse in the last 10 games, I think you know, there's somebody is going to be sitting there going, man, we had 96 or 97 points and we didn't make it. There is going to be a team, and the Predators are got to battle not to be that team. They've scored 26 more goals than the opposition. So even if they don't make the playoffs, it doesn't mean that they had a bad year. But it will be really disappointing at the same token. So what's keeping them from being a dominant team? That's a great question. I think there are two areas that I think about. They need another top six forward to emerge. And they are giving Phil Tomasino, they're giving Eli Tolvanen, they're giving Luke Cunnan. You know, those three guys in particular, those are guys that have not made made it to that level yet. I think we know Phil Tomasino has got a lot of promise and he is going to get there. Eli Tolvanen, I have not given up hope on at all. I think he's made improvements in a lot of areas in this game, but unfortunately, he cannot buy a goal. He had another great couple of scoring chances yesterday that it's just not going in. Luke Cunnan had a couple of good looks yesterday on the fourth line. He's been relegated to the fourth line with McCarron out. He had some good battles in front of the net where he's getting to the scoring area. It's not going in for him. So that's one thing. Could you add, and you have the money to do it, perhaps more so than other teams, can you find another consistent top six forward? To me, that's one area. And then, and this is no knock at Dante Fabbro, but Dante Fabbro's been playing, for the most part, top 2 minutes with Roman Josi when he's been healthy. But if you notice yesterday, they said it on the broadcast. I don't know what you guys heard from the radio side, Darren, but they said it was a healthy scratch.
See, I didn't catch that. So I've been trying to figure out why I didn't see what he was. Is there, because I knew there was nothing coming from the team about lower body, upper body, day to day, week to week. There was nothing on that when it came to Fabbro, and I didn't hear that. So they said he was a healthy scratch because I was wondering.
That's what they said.
Okay.
Now I don't. Look, we all saw the game on Saturday.
I'm going to put him on the list. They didn't put up the scratches. I'm putting him on the list on Friday. TNT didn't put up the scratches and the lines.
So
just made the list.
Maybe they didn't. Maybe they didn't have detail there, and they didn't say he was hurt, so they assumed it was a healthy scratch. I don't know, because he played on Saturday, so I don't know what was happening there. But I think it would illustrate that Dante Fabbro is still progressing. He's a good defenseman. Is he a top two defenseman in terms of being a dominant team? Not yet. Right now, that's the beauty of this season, is you still think that there's room to grow for Dante Fabbro and for Alex Carrier and Trennan and Tomasino and Tolvanen. They got a very young nucleus that I think collectively can get better and get them to a next level. But those would be two areas that I think I'd like to see them take a step forward in.
Okay, we've got some feedback on our text line. We'll get to that on the other side, and we'll come back and wrap up Monday's edition of the DDC next. We've got your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the ARCA Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader. That'll be Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to the Geico 500 the next day on Sunday. How about that? Just submit a picture of you wearing your NASCAR swag using the hashtag Dega to the game's social accounts, Twitter at 1025 The Game, Facebook and Instagram. Instagram is at The Game Nashville. So just submit a picture of you wearing some NASCAR swag and use that hashtag Dega and post it to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and you may be going to Dega. Back here on the DDC, let's go to Bobby, who's calling in. He wants to weigh in on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com.
Happy Monday morning to y'all.
So, afternoon.
Or afternoon. Well, well, some of us are just getting our days started here, but I wanted to give a shout out to Lazan, because I feel like he has stepped up, made plays, you know, he's become part, he's taken on the Predators' identity, and I kind of wonder on the broadcast side if he doesn't get talked about more because, you know, I've only been following hardcore for about the past 2 years. Otherwise, I was kind of a fringe hockey fan. And I definitely enjoy Coach Ville's, you know, his, like, breakdowns on stuff because I'm still learning about the game every time I watch it. But I feel like maybe he's not going to make the cut long term. Maybe this is just a short-term deal for him so we don't celebrate him taking on that identity as much. And I'll take your answer off the line.
I don't think so. I think it's pretty clear with our conversations with David Poile and what they had to give up to get Lozon was a second-round pick, and a lot of people are like, oh, second-round pick, really? I think they're in for this. David Poile has said that to us, that they're in this for the future. This is, I don't want to say long haul, kind of makes it sound like, you know, he's going to be here forever. I think the point is they're interested in bringing him back. They're interested in, you know, spending more time with Jeremy Lozon and seeing if he does fit in to their plans. You know, he does fit into their plans moving forward. I think they like his style. I think they like what he brings to the table, especially his physicality, right? I mean, he's been dropping the mitts. He's been getting in fights. He lays out some big hits. I think they like those things about him. They gave up a lot to get him. So I don't think this is quick. This was not a quick fix. I think he's a guy they have real interest in moving forward. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I can only go by what David Poile said. And because Lazan is so young, he's only 24. He doesn't have – I think they see him as a possible guy that you could lock up at a reasonable price for a number of years. You notice what they did with Dante Fabbro. They got him locked in at a good price at a pretty young age. So I think that's what they envisioned with Lazan. I don't think the Bruins really were excited to lose Lazan. It was just they had to lose somebody in expansion, just like the Predators. You know, good teams had to lose a good player in expansion, a useful player, if nothing else. The question is Lazan a guy that can play in the top four someday? That's what I think you're looking for, is you're looking to grow the roster. What you want, you don't want this to be the max for this season. You want that young nucleus to keep growing, keep getting better, and Lazan is a part of that. So if Lazan only ends up being a good third pair defenseman, okay, that's all right. You need those. But what's ideal is if he could be pushing Dante Fabbro and Alex Carrier to get in the top four with Ekholm and Josi, that's the ideal thing. And if not, then you know, hopefully he's inexpensive enough that you have room to add maybe a more veteran guy that's a more solid top four guy. That's what you're trying to find out. When you don't add anybody other than Lazan, no veterans at the trade deadline, you're finding out what you have in these young guys. Cunning's still young, Tolvanen's still young, Tomasino, you know, all of these guys, there's a ton of guys. They're getting a huge opportunity to gain experience.
He's a guy that could absolutely be an everyday third pair defenseman on this team, don't you think?
Well, he is now.
Well, that's what I'm saying,
but can he get to a second? Can he be a second pair?
Possibly. He's still fairly young,
right? He's young.
He's
24.
Yeah. Young. J.R. Tuttle on Twitter says, "I did think Forsberg would score 40 goals this season, but if he stayed healthy, but he missed some games and clearly it took." Or clearly it looks like he'll do it anyways. I never would have thought all those things would happen, though. Kind of weighing in to what I don't think any – Jeff, just so you know, I don't think anybody, even, you know, me throwing that out there, I mean, I don't think anybody could have seen all of this coming together, which was why I think it's an interesting discussion that it actually has played out, and yet, you know, the results are not, I guess, higher. And look, as I said earlier – this is also somewhat of a premature conversation because, I mean, you don't know how it's going to play. I still think this team is built for the playoffs, but they got to get in first, and they could make some noise. I mean, I like the way they're built. I've just told you, I don't like the way Pittsburgh's built. And I know they have superstars, and they've done a whole lot of winning, and they've got skins on the wall, but I don't like this team in 2022. I don't think they're built for the playoffs, unless Eastern Conference. Maybe I haven't been paying close attention. Maybe the Eastern Conference has become baby poop soft, but I don't think it has. So if it's not become baby poop soft, they're going to get pushed around, in my opinion. They just
That's a theory that a lot of people have, is if the Predators can get in, and we've heard it from a lot of different people, that they can be dangerous. I heard Darren Pang with that narrative yesterday. The Florida Panthers guys, after watching Nashville, said the same thing. They said, man, they could be very difficult to play against. Rick Tocchet has said it every single time he watches them. And the Predators haven't won a single game that's been on TNT during the regular season. But he still likes what they would look like in a playoff series, in a seven-game series. He looks at Trenin and Janot and guys like that and say, man, they could deliver some wear and tear in a first round. And if you could get by, that's a really good piece to have. So let's get there and find out. But they're not there yet.
Nope, they're not. Jeff in Kingston Springs on our text line says, Fabro is more of a top pair defenseman than Cunnan is a top six forward. At some point, you have to produce. Cunnan has had golden opportunities to play with good line mates, and he hasn't produced. Tomasino needs to be on the second line, and Cunnan needs to be scratched because he's not a fourth liner.
Well, it's not a problem right now because McCarron is hurt. The question is, when McCarron comes back, I think they really like him in that role, the fourth line center.
As they should.
So what do you do with Luke Cunnan?
He's earned
or Elli Tolvanen? You know, Cunnan and Tolvanen are important guys. I thought Cunnan down the stretch last year and in the playoffs was excellent. He could play better than he's played.
Yeah, but I'm with Jeff.
He's a hard
Even
worker.
With that being said, I don't believe he's a top six. Guy.
Yeah, I think that's a fair
six.
Thing. Is he a top nine? I think he could
yes.
be a solid top nine for a long time. But, you know, can he rise up, be a consistent top six? I think that's what you're trying to find out.
I've said this for a good while. I'd push Cunnan back to the third line, and I know the sacred, you can't mess up the third line, but I would have moved Janot and Tomasino. I've been saying this for a good while now. Tomasino and Janot to the second line with Granlund, and Cunnan would slide back to that third line.
Then you don't have the herd, that's man.
Me. I herd understand.
Is, the herd I is the, what generates the identity right now.
The itinerary.
The itinerary and identity. The itinerary. Okay. Good way to end the show. Making up words.
Stuck the landing.
We'll have a good itinerary tomorrow
yeah.
for 4 hours.
We'll have that on the itinerary tomorrow.
Talking about the We'll do that for our show today. Have a great rest of your Monday. Continue to be safe. We want you back with us tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.